gets the juices going. Juices are good. Our learning should be a schutz refuah shleima for my good friend's father, very much needs refuah shleima, Daniel ben Fruma, also for his brother, Ezra Shem Yitzchak Leib ben Zlata. So when it comes down to it, I was talking to a lot of my students today, there's only one holiday in the Jewish calendar that actually goes into 2 months. Sukkot, we know, is in Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tishrei. Adar is Purim. Purim is another. Chanukah is the only one that goes into 2 months. It's the end of Kislev and the beginning of Tevis. The question is why. That's not going to be our topic for tonight, just to start us a little bit. Rav Shor says, or Rav Ram Shor says an amazing thing. We'll take comments at the end. That's okay. Yeah, questions at the end. Rav Shor says that if you look at the Gematria of Tevis is Gematria 411. Which is the same gematria as bias, right? Bias, it's 412, but in gematria it could be one off. So because Chanukah is supposed to take us, even though Chanukah is over, the kedusha of Chanukah stayed with us throughout the whole Tevis. Tevis, it might look like there's nothing there, and we know it's the darkest time of the year, that you know it starts getting dark out at 5:40, and you go outside, even when you wake up early in the morning, it's still dark. But you take the kedusha of Chanukah to be able to light it up. The whole shiur tonight, what we're going to be talking about, is how to go forward, even in a time of choshech in someone's life. Sometimes we all have struggles and challenges, how to go forward. So if you look at the intro vort to the everything, it says over here, the pasuk says, in Perek Mem Dalet, pasuk Lamed Dalet, Yehuda says something very famous. We know the famous story, Yehuda, Yin Yosef, Yehuda steps up to the plate, when Binyamin's on his life is on the line, and Yehuda's the one who said to his father he was going to get Binyamin's back. The last pasuk before Yosef says he can't handle himself, what does he say? Ki eich el avi v'anar inenu iti. How am I supposed to face my father and the child won't be with me? It's very interesting that he calls him a child here. Binyamin's not 5 years old, he's older, he's 10, Rashi says he has 10 sons. Yeah. Very interesting, that's not our question for tonight, but the question is, what's the deeper pshat? Ki eich el avi v'anar inenu iti. How am I supposed to go to my father and my children, the child's not with me? So it's very, very interesting. Today's not going to be vortlach. Tonight's going to be chizik. Chizik is encouragement. So he says, you want to know what ki eich el alvi means? Who's our avi, Max? Who's our avi? It's Hashem. Ki eich, it doesn't mean Yaakov is a pashup shot. But who's avi? Ki eich el avi. How am I supposed to come in front of my father? The child's not with me. So how does Meir Parmishlan understand this pasuk? He says an amazing thing. He says, you know, after 120, we're all going to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he's going to see, what did you leave in this world? He's going to look, the first thing he's going to look at is your children. He's going to see the things you left, the mitzvos, the students, the patients. What did you leave in this world? Each one of us are going to say, ki eich el avi, and hopefully we're not going to say, v'hanar ninoti. We're going to say, v'hanar yeshli. The hanar was with me. My kids are there. Ki eich el avi doesn't mean doesn't only refer to, sorry, I got two cavities today. I'm trying to speak without pain over here. Baruch Hashem Shabbat Kapara. How can I come to my father, v'hanar inenu iti, and that the child's not with me? What does it mean the child's not with me? If the kids that I left me, how am I supposed to go to my father, and the kids aren't going to be getting the chizik? So many times in life, we have to make sure that everything we do is Be'ezus Hashem to be able to make a lasting impression. And not just being good Jews to be good Jews. Every action we have is to be able to make a lasting impression. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult. And sometimes we're all in those stages where it's like, should I do this, should I not do this, should I say this, should I not do that? And Yosef Tzadik, in this week's Parsha, the Pasuk right after, in Perek Memhei, now going to part one over here, Perek Memhei, Pasuk Aleph, it says, V'lo yachol Yosef le'sapil chol nitzavim alav. Yosef wasn't able to control himself from all the people that are standing him. V'yikra otzi l'chol ishmeelai, and he told everyone to get out, and then he told his brothers, the famous 5 words, 4 words, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai. Not 5 words, got it first time. My father always says, always go with your first answer, especially on the test. Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai. I am Joseph, is my father still alive? However, there's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful explanation. So exactly, what are these words, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai? It's a famous idea from the Beis Halevi. I give you homework to be able to go check it out. It's unbelievable. The Nesiv Shalom says an amazing answer. Maybe we'll get to at the end. But the Divrei Yisrael of Majid says such a beautiful pshat on these words. Right before Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai, but the words "Lo Yochol Yosef Le'sapil Chol Nitzav Malav," he wasn't able to control himself. So many times in our lives, maybe in your life, I know it happens in my life, you feel like a Lo Yochol. What does Lo Yochol mean? Lo Yochol means that I can't do it anymore. I'm not able to hold on anymore. I can't bear this. I can't bear this situation. I can't bear this person. I can't bear this experience. I can't do it anymore. What does the pasuk say? "Velo Yochol." If you have a time in your life that's "Velo Yochol," What do you have to do? Yosef lehisapik. You should add holding on, right? Yosef doesn't just mean Yosef the person. Yosef also means to add. To add. And lehisapik means to hold on. When a person feels velo yochel, you feel like you're not able to hold on. It's not pashup shot. This is more of the deeper chizik with Svi Meir, very avodatic explanations. Velo yochel, you feel like you're not able to hold on. You shouldn't have done that thing. You shouldn't have looked at that. You shouldn't have cursed. You shouldn't have missed the day I put on tefillin. And you just want to throw it all away. What should you do? Yosef lehisapik. You have to hold on a little more. Yosef, hold on a little more. You add lehisapik. Hold on and continue more. I know this happens in my life, especially after the Yom Tovim, Chanukah is over. You have like a quote unquote dead time from Chanukah till Purim. You have nothing to look forward to. Okay, hopefully winter vacation a little bit, maybe, you know, that's something to look forward to. Teachers also look forward to that. But there comes a time in one life when a person feels like a velo yochel. Says the Divrei Yisrael, the Mashal Tzarebi, person has to continue to be able to, you have to go forward. Even in school or in sports or marriage and work, you feel like velo yochel, yosef lehisapik, you have to continue to hold on. And sometimes it's hard. And I'll be honest, sometimes it's very, very difficult. Because the Yitzhahara, he has one goal, Max. You know what that goal is? To get you sad, and to get you depressed, and to get you to forget it all. So sometimes it's hard. So the second idea for what we're going to say, if we go to part two over here, it says an idea from Simcha Banim. Simcha Banim was one of the famous Hasidic teachers, and he said it has a beautiful insight on how the Yitzhahara always likes to attack people. I thought we'd just read it inside. This whole idea, you don't have it. I have it over here in my Rabbi Geldzahler. Rabbi Geldzahler brings it down in one of his shiurim. What is the Yitzhahara's goal? How does he get a person to sin? How does he get a person to fall? So he says, and he talks about Napoleon. Napoleon's military success. He compares Napoleon to the Yitzhahara. Watch. Okay. Here we go. It starts right over. Let's hear. In addition, each small victory, a successful test, a siyum, a good seder, empowers the person to set his sights higher, dream bigger. Reb Lezer recorded an insight from the Rebbe, Reb Simcha Banim of Sischa, who reflected on Napoleon's military success. Why? He actually says Napoleon was actually not the Yitzhar, the people that he... We'll see how he says it. Yeah. The Rebbe pointed out that the great general redefined military strategy, triumphing into so many campaigns. What was Napoleon's secret? It's not only something you learn on Animal Farm. Napoleon was a real person, right? Animal Farm. I'm holding a little bit. The Rebbe explained that victory in war depends on two factors. Conquering as much land as possible and losing as few people in battle.
Yeah.
Right? Conquering as much land as possible and losing as few people as possible. The reason why many generals lose, said Reb Simcha Banim, is because they send mighty armies to the front, but by the time the armies win, they have nobody left. There's no army. There's nobody left. They send everyone to the front. They'll win, but they have no one left to be able to go on to the next battle. The remaining soldiers are exhausted, so they're a bit weaker in the next campaign. That's all the regular generals, and they lost. However, Napoleon, listen to this, had a different strategy. When the enemy approached the front with their best men, Napoleon would send the bare minimum of soldiers forward, like the Korbanos, right? Yeah, you guys get rocked. Just enough to keep the other army at bay. Then he would send out his best men to create new fronts and conquer new ground. These soldiers met no resistance, and by the time the enemy caught on, many of their men and much of their energy had been lost. So basically, what did he do? He sent out like 10, 15, maybe let's say 100 soldiers. You know, they got the Malash, whatever. But after that battle, the other side thought they won, and then his real guys took over. We can apply Reb Banim's insight to the perpetual battle with the Yitzhahara. The Pasuk says, "You shall wage war for yourself with strategies." What does that mean? It means that the same way you fight a physical war, you also have to fight spiritual war, like the spiritual holocaust we were talking about. Yeah. We live in a time that the Yitzhahara is rampant. Rampant. You go on the internet, rampant. Go outside, especially in Florida, rampant. So we have to find strategy how to beat the Yitzhahara. The Yitzhahara identifies a person's weak spot, and so many people invest all their energy in battling the Yitzhahara. How am I going to stop doing this? How am I going to stop doing that? But they don't realize, says Reb Simcha Banim, this is exactly what the Yitzhahara wants. This way, even if a man does beat the Yitzhahara, what happens? The Yitzhahara succeeds in him and takes him away from every other front, exhausting him so he cannot battle back. Right? It happens with the same thing in war. You get a person to win a battle, but they're not able to go on to the next thing. The Yitzhahara, even if you're not going to beat him, a person constantly feels bogged down with the Yitzhahara, and even if you win, he's still going to win you next because you're so exhausted. The solution, said the Rebbe, and this is it, and this is the chizik This is the chizik that I think that what the words mean, v'lo yachol yosef l'sapik, means that you feel like you're not able to, yosef l'sapik, you have to hold on a little more. What should you do, said the Rebbe? The solution, said the Rebbe, is for man to invest the minimum necessary to engage the Yetzer Hara, meaning you realize the Yetzer Hara is trying to tell you something to do. You know, you do whatever you have to do, maybe, you know, walk away from it or speak to him for a minute, nothing more. And then send your best kochos, his greatest strength, to the other battlefields. What are the other battlefields? The other battlefields of Torah, of Tefillah. And if you're constantly busy in Torah and Tefillah, then what happens to the Yetzer Hara? It falls away. It falls away. Because what happens? Those small happy victories will make you stronger. The Yetzer Hara wants you to worry. And he wants you to feel like you're down. He wants you to feel like you can't do it. But what does the Simcha Banim say? Don't focus on fighting him one-on-one. You want to talk to him one-on-one? Hashem, the Yetzer Hara, I don't want to do this. But then you leave the battle, quote unquote, and what do? You go learn Torah, you go daven a little bit, you open up, you send a text message to a friend you haven't spoken to. And when you do that, that opens up a little light to your neshama, and that what happens, the Yetzer Hara falls away. And I know this is not like a Dvar Torah you're going to say at your Shabbos table. Yesterday I said a couple Ashir, and you could listen online, you could say a lot of Vortlach. Sometimes we have to say it, we have to say how it is. There's a lot of Jews nowadays who are struggling. They're struggling to be able to continue to be Jewish. They feel like Hashem doesn't like them, Hashem doesn't love them, and if I sin, I can't come back. It's the opposite. If a person sins, and a person does something wrong, and they have a true will to be able to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they firmly believe that they can, because Hashem loves every Jew. No matter what a Jew does, a Jew can always come back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take him back with open arms. But we have to take the first step. But lo yachol, if you feel like you're a lo yachol, you can't fight, yosef l'sapek, you have to fight a little longer. So what's one piece of advice? I'll be honest with you, I'm not the greatest person to speak to, because I also sometimes struggle in a lot of things. But one thing that I always come back to, and I tell this to my kids, I tell this to my wife, I tell this to a lot of my family members, whenever you have a struggle, the number one thing, besides, you know, not focusing one-on-one with the Yitzhar, just doing more, keeping active in the Yitzhar will fall away, is number one is taking things one day at a time. One day at a time. Because if you don't take things one at a time, what happens? The Yetzer is going to say, how are you going to stop saying Lashon Hara for 3 weeks? You can't do it. You can't do it for 3 minutes. The vote is one day at a time. You know, at Sarbatavis represents what happened at Sarbatavis, Max. And Akiva, I'll get Akiva a little more on the recording. His name on the recording. It was the siege of Yerushalayim. They started to surround the walls. It was the beginning of the end. So much so, is that the Avud Jaham says that if Sarbatavis followed on Shabbos, you would have to fast. According to our Jewish calendars, it can't happen. Usually only Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Avudram says that if the Sarbat Tevis, they would also. Says the Chasam Sofer says, Hashem decides on a Sarbat Tevis if the Tisha B'Av is going to be a Tisha B'Av with a Velas in mourning, or if it's going to be a day of Mashiach. Because it's the beginning of the end. It's the beginning. Hashem doesn't decide on the 9th of Av whether it's going to be another Tisha B'Av. He decides already at the beginning. When's the beginning? This week. That doesn't only mean physically. That our enemies decided to intrude Yerushalayim. You know what it means? What it means to surround Yerushalayim? It means to surround your life. Yerushalayim is a Jew. Yerushalayim is the good. The neshama. Yerushalayim is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We know Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is fully felt in Eretz Yisrael. The most felt is in Yerushalayim. The most felt the Kodesh Kodashim. But Al Sarbat Tevis also represents when a Jew feels like he's being surrounded by his Yetzer Hara. He's being surrounded by something he shouldn't do. He's being surrounded, right? What's the avodah? V'lo yochol yosef l'sapek. You have to hold on a little tighter. Learn Torah, learn that little daven, and then Yetzer Hara fall away. But we said over here one more thing. You have to dig it one day at a time. So as I was saying before, sorry I got a little offhand.
Yeah.
Rabbi Nachman of Breslov has an amazing teaching on taking things one thing at a time. Rabbi Nachman's main student, his yartzeit is a Zohar B'Tevis, is Rabbi Nosson of Breslov. Everything we have from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov did not come from Rabbi Nachman. Came from his mouth, but in writing it came from his Rebbe, came from his student Rav Nosson of Breslov. Listen to this teaching, and if you have the Sefer Osav Mechtavim of Yaakov Meir Schechter's letters, I had the schus to be able to meet him in Yerushalayim a couple months ago. Tremendous, tremendous tzaddik. In letter 122, the pasuk says, "Hayom im bekolo tishma'u." Today, or on the day, if you listen to his voice, this is the pasuk to him Sarihei Zion. Says the word "Hayom" seems to be very extra. Hayom, today, in Mikol Tishmo, you listen to his voice. It should just say, in Mikol Tishmo, when you listen to his voice. What's Hayom? Hayom says, a person has to look every day by themselves. Today. Hayom Daika. that you shouldn't worry about tomorrow. Shelo yachshav me'etmol v'lo l'machor. Don't worry about yesterday and don't worry about tomorrow. You know what the number one day you should worry about is? Ki'im al hayom. Worry about today. Worry about tonight, January 5th, January going to January 6th, going to Parshas Vayigash. What happens if you start worrying about yesterday and tomorrow? What happens? You can't control yesterday, you can't control tomorrow. The only thing you can control is dafka what? Is dafka what right now? Dafka the achshav. That's why it says hayom. Hayom.
Which rabbi says that?
Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. The only thing you control is hayom. That's what's hayom in the Kol Dishmo. Today when you listen to his voice. Because tomorrow, I don't know what it's going to be. But I'm not worrying about tomorrow. And I'm not worrying about yesterday. If I failed yesterday, if I did something I shouldn't have done yesterday, I'm putting in the past. And not that I'm just forgetting about it. I'm going to learn from it. But I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to worry so much that I'm not going to be able to be a better Jew today. Hayom. To take things one thing at a time. We'll just review a little before we get to a couple things at the end. We started off saying that Chanukah was what? Chanukah was the Yontif that has 2 months. He said because Teves... What? Cheshvan?
Question
at the end. Is that okay? Question at the end. Just because we're on the recording over here. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I hope you mochel me. I'll call you before Yom Kippur. Bez Hashem. Just kidding. I'll take the question at the end. Is that okay? Thank you, Tzadik. You're Tzadik. If you want to write it down so you don't forget. Here, take my pen. It's a YHS pen. So here we go. Says Rav Shor. Rav Shor says the gematria of bias is Tevis. Because a person has to take the Kedusha of Chanukah into Tevis. We have 2 days every year of Chanukah into Tevis. Then we started off with saying a beautiful vort. You know, the whole shiur was more of chizik, but this is a vort. We said, ki eich ela of avi v'hanar inenu iti, right? How am I supposed to go to my father, says Yehuda, with the child not there? But what do we say it's really? It's actually referring to, how am I supposed to go to Hashem, says our mayor, Parmishlan. Ki eich ela of avi, when I go up to 120, v'hanar inenu iti, is my son going to be with me on my side? Meaning, is he going to be living in a strong way? We know, the Gemara actually says that Yaakovinu lo meis, Yaakov never died. If you look in the Exodus parsha, it never says in the pasuk Vayomas Yaakov. Okay. It says that his soul expired. So everyone asks, what does it mean Yaakov never died? I don't see him. He's not living in Boca. He's not living in Meir Sharm. Like, where is he? So the Gemara says is that he had his children alive. And if you have your children, not the Gemara, let the Sfarim say, if your children are alive, it's as if you're alive. When your children are alive and living in your way, it's as if you're living. It's as if you're going. It's as if they're there. Ki eich el avi v'anar einenu iti. But Yaakovina says no. V'anar iti. My children were with me. My children were keeping the legacy going. But at the end of the day, we saw that sometimes a person falls. And Yosef Atzarek, he wasn't able to do it anymore. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says v'lo yachol. Yosef lehisapik. He wasn't able to do it anymore. But we said v'lo yachol. Yosef doesn't mean Yosef. Yosef can also mean to add. It says the Mazhar Tzarebi, v'lo yachol. When you feel like you're not able to hold on anymore, when you feel like you can't do it anymore, you're struggling in this, you're struggling in that. Yosef lehisapik. You have to continue hold on a little stronger. So we said 2 ways. How does a person hold on a little stronger? Says of Simcha Abanim. Well, you know what you should do? All the generals, you know what they do? They send all their good men out in front. They put so much focus on the enemy. By the time after the war, they're done. Same thing with the Yitzhahara. If you put all your energies and all your thoughts and worries into the Yitzhahara, what's going to happen? You're going to lose to him. You might win the victory. You might win the battle, but you're going to lose the war. You know what you should do? Send a couple of your soldiers, says Rav Simcha Bonim, like Napoleon did. That's why you're so successful. Send a couple of your soldiers, meaning focus on the Yitzhahara for a minute or two. Talk to him. Get you do whatever you have to do. Put your phone away. Don't talk to that person. Don't walk by that store if you have a yitzhar to eat non-kosher. But what happens right after? Then you continue to add light. You continue to you have smaller victories. Just like those, exactly what Napoleon did. Napoleon would send a lot of his men to other places, and they would build up confidence, build up power. And that's the same thing in a person's life. To learn a little bit, to daven a little bit. And the second etzah, which I thought maybe we could say, is a person can't start worrying about what happened yesterday or worry tomorrow. A person has to focus on today. It says Rabbi Nachman, it's brought down in Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter's letters 122 in Osim Mechtovim. Hayom in the Kol Tishmel. Hayom, one day at a time. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Stay in sports. Don't worry about tests. Don't worry about, you have to prepare a little bit. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to go show up to the science, so I'll study the night before. No, you have to prepare a little bit as you go, but don't start worrying. If you have a science today, the science test will be the number one thing you worry about. If you have a patient today, that's the patient you're worrying about. You're not worrying about the patient next week. Okay, that patient will come, and you have to do your due diligence for that, but you have to take things one step at a time. So number one, to be able to simcha banim, be able to focus a little bit on your enemy, focus a little bit on the Yitzhara, but then to increase light. And sometimes we feel like our own little Yerushalayim, right? Yerushalayim being surrounded doesn't only mean physically Yerushalayim. It also means us spiritually being surrounded by our Yitzharas, by things that we shouldn't do. But what do? We increase light. We increase our smaller victories and we take things one thing at a time. Just to be able to close. And Rabbi Rav Moshe Weinberger, Shlita, hopefully we'll be blessed to have him in Miami Beach in Bell Harbor. Hopefully some of you maybe will come hear him. In a few weeks he'll be here, Be'ez Hashem. He said to us a great maisa, what happened to him in the Lubavitcher Rebbe. What happened was, he didn't say what, he said it was a tish, it was one Shabbos in YU. And he said that there was something was going on in his life, and he needed a lot of chizik. So where do you go when you're living in the 60s or 70s, we need a chizik in New York, where do you go? Go see the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he goes to 770 in Crown Heights, and he says, he's looking for the Rebbe, and the Gabbai says, if you want to see the Rebbe, you know, at 2:30 he walks to the Beis Midrash. You'll see him outside, you'll see him, and you'll see him walk to Mincha. I think it's 2:30, something like that. So he said, okay, 2:25, down the street, he's ready, right outside the Rebbe's house, very excited, no one's there. 2:29, hundreds of Jews, Crown Heights looks like Yankee Stadium, right? Like Lahavdil, but Lubavitcher is also like Yankee games. So what happens? Hey, all these Lubavitchers come, everyone knows that the Rebbe's walk. And what happened was, you know, Weinberger, it may have been 20, 21 years old, whatever, he gets to the front, and the Rebbe's like, saying Shalom Aleichem to everyone, saying like hundreds of people, saying Shalom Aleichem. He says Shalom Aleichem to Rav Weinberger, and then he goes past him. 10 seconds later, the Rebbe, who usually just continues walking, he comes back to Rav Weinberger, and he does one of these. He gives like a, he puts his a fist up in the air, like, continue going strong.
Yeah.
Like this. His fist pump in the air. He didn't give him a splash. Yeah. But it was a fist pump in the air. Rav Weinberger said that fist pump in the air, the Rebbe looked at him, and Rav Weinberger needed chizuk. That fist pump in the air to Shemaim. He said that fist pump is beginning him chizuk from then until today. Each one of us are getting that chizuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We might fall. We might struggle. We have to continue forward. We have to continue, even though sometimes we might lose the battle, we're not going to lose the war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves each and every one of us like his own son. And just like we could always go back to our physical fathers, we could always go back to our spiritual father. And every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going like this to us. He's putting his fist up in the air. V'lo yachol. You might feel like you can't do it anymore. Yosef l'sapik. Continue forward. Learn a little more Torah. Learn more tefillah. Don't start focusing the Yitzhar so much because then you're not going to be able to win. Take things one thing at a time. Hashem should bless us to take these messages going into the month of Tevis, Be'ez Hashem, to increase the Kedusha of Chanukah, to increase the Kedusha of Torah and Tefillah. Be'ez Hashem, if we do this, we'll be zochet, we'll be able to come to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Hanar Itim. We'll tell him that we left great things in this world. Be'ez Hashem, have a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh.